What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, what's up, Sheree?
Hey, Anna, what are you doing here?
You know, just chilling. Ow, fuck. I just hit my head in the with a pen.
You broke character. Okay, that's it. Here we go. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. Today, we're chatting just us gals, or whatever we are, and we talk about...
Cillian Murphy's height, let's just be honest.
Yes. We talk about Oppenheimer, but we talked about a bunch of other stuff before Oppenheimer. What do we talk about?
We talk about cackling hags. We talk about... holy shit, what do we start this episode with?
I don't know. We talked for a long time about something.
Oh, we talked about me going to see Barbie in Germany. Anyway, yes. Sheree and I are going to see Barbie after we record this. So there's a lot we talk about. Oppenheimer, Barbie, cackling hags.
Cillian Murphy's face.
And
radiation.
Oh, we talk about radiation poisoning. Guys, so much to discuss. We talk about the downwinders who were clearly ignored in the Oppenheimer film. So, yeah. Get into it.
Yeah.
It's a wild ride. You goddamn cackling hag.
Hey, who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Barbie, Bay, wear pink or die.
I'm not wearing pink. Is that a rule?
No, I'm joking. Who cares? Oh. It's been 2 weeks.
Right.
Wait, no. It's been out for more than 2 weeks. Wear pink or die. WPOD. I didn't wear pink in Berlin when I went to go see it. And let me tell you, the Germans were not nice about it. And I was like, I did not plan to see Barbie when I came on this trip. I did not pack anything pink. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I have a bathing suit top. You want me to wear my fucking bathing suit top right now? Like, Jesus
it's
Christ.
Pink, better than nothing. Wait, okay. This is the episode. We've started already. We're talking about Barbie.
Oh, yeah. Guess what, guys? Sheree and I are going to go see Barbie tonight. You'll hear this podcast in 8 weeks. But Sheree and I will be going to see the Barbie tonight. And then Bay, our producer, Bay, who's in LA right now, is going to come with us. So the start of the episode.
We convinced Bay, literally an hour ago, because they were like, I'll never see Barbie.
Yeah, and I got my ticket broker.
And now they're going.
AKA my domestic partner, Zach, who has all these tickets in his Cinemark app to let us use a ticket for Bay. And so now we're all going.
Now we're going to go see Barbie. I'll see what all the hype's about because you've already seen it.
I've already seen it. I saw it opening day in Berlin when I was there with my little Berlin friends. And,
that must have been wild.
It was cool.
That's nice. Were your seats okay for opening
day? Okay. You want to hear a funny story? Let's hope these people never listen to this podcast. I know Shireen is... No, you're Shireen. That was crazy.
And it,
right?
And it lost it. And it just lost your mind.
I don't exist, huh?
No, nothing's real.
What if this is literally the beginning? Like, I was never the same after that. Like, so I couldn't, like, I lose my job, I lose my home, I lose everything. My family's, like, everything just falls apart in that moment. No, what I was going to say, I know my friend Zara listens to this, lives in Berlin. Shout out, Zara. I don't think Estrella listens because maybe Estrella isn't a real one like I thought this whole time. Even though I've known her my whole life. No, not my whole life. Since college. Feels like my whole life. But Zara, who I've only known since I started going to Berlin like 80 years ago, she listens to the podcast.
Wow.
Shout out Zara.
That's real.
Zara Thanks, should be Zara. On it eventually. Zara, you should come do the podcast. You have a very interesting life. Anyway, text me when you get this.
From your name, I could tell you're perfect for the show.
Oh, Zara? Half Arab, half white.
That's actually, still perfect.
Right? Your mom's white, right? I know your mom is white, but where is she from white, you know? Like, you tell me. Text me when you hear this. Okay. So the three of us actually went to go see Barbie together. And I specifically bought the tickets to be in the center of the theater, right? Because we bought them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We got them. We planned ahead and we bought the tickets. And then we get there and we run into... So Estrella is in like a... is just finishing her like master's degree program at this design school in Berlin. And she runs into a friend from the program, and I guess they come in like a big group and they're like split up around us. I don't know why they bought the tickets this way. Maybe it's because there was no other tickets left. And also, here's the thing, we took some edibles. We're pretty high. I'm like smoking my vape pen. I'm like stoned, right? We sit down. They immediately like they like realize that they're the three. There's like six people, maybe more, and they're like around us, right? And they go like, "Hey, can we trade seats with you so we can sit with our friends?" And I was like, "No, I'm sorry to be a piece of shit, but no, bitch, I bought tickets in the middle of the theater. You should have planned ahead. And now I'm not gonna just literally
sit crazy ass
on the side of the theater so you can sit with your friend. Like, is that crazy?" I was like, no, insane. Sorry. We bought these tickets specifically to be in the middle to watch this movie.
It's a fucking movie. You're not going to talk to your fucking friends anyway.
Yeah. Why do you need to sit with your friends? And they're like, no, it's because we're all friends. And I was like, yeah.
I don't fucking care. It's not a plane
ride.
I'm
sitting in the seat that I purchased. I'm sorry to be a bitch, but I was also really hot. No, they were like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But I was like really high and being like, oh, I have to be an asshole right now. I have to be like, hey, well, sorry, tough luck, but I'm not moving. I bought these tickets. Yeah. I went out of my way to find a theater that had, I spent like an hour searching for these tickets. I'm not going to move because your ass didn't plan ahead.
But also, like, what a dumb ask. Like, I would never have the gall to ask someone who got middle seats, like, knowing they got the middle seats for themselves, to be like, can you switch with me and have my shitty seat instead? Like, I don't know.
I will say they were really nice about it. But still, in my sort of stone moment, was like, nah.
It would be different if it was like one seat over, maybe.
Yeah, you know instead we would be like trading three seats for three seats, and we would just be at the end of the row. And I was like, oh, no.
No. Also, like, you have friends you want to see with too. Like,
yeah, we want to sit in the middle together.
Yeah.
Like we planned before you.
Sitting in a...
Also, I think it was also
awkward because...
Your
seat in a theater is very important, though, because, like...
Yeah, it's where you want to sit.
It can make or break, yeah.
And I think it was also awkward because they, like, knew Estrella, and it was just, like, weird. But I was like, I don't know you
people. Wait, did Estrella want to move?
She literally said she didn't care, and I was the one that was like, we're not moving. Like, we're not fucking moving. I didn't say it that aggressively. Yeah. I think I just went, like,
I'm with you. I would have been the same.
I was like, I don't want to move. And they were like, okay. And that was the end of it. But there was, I was sitting next to one of the friends. So this was like an awkward sort of where I was like, well, sorry, bitch, but I don't care about your friends because I don't know
but
you.
But also, like, technically, like, who cares if you know the person next to you? Like, in a, if you're being a good moviegoer, you're not going to be, like, talking the whole time, are you? Or, like, I don't know.
I just, like, in the moment.
Like, unless you're, like, sharing food or something. I don't know. There's no reason to need to sit next to someone, I suppose. I go to the movies by myself all the time, and it's great. So that's one of my favorite activities, just to go by myself and see a movie. And I just think it's a little silly.
Yeah.
That people are that insane. Maybe not insane, but the balls to ask that opening day for a movie is a lot.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about Barbie. When I do see Barbie, we're going to have a round table about it. So, because we all would have seen it, Becca included.
And Bae's so finally going to see it.
That's a future episode.
Even though Bae was kind of like protesting.
They were anti-Barbie.
So now we're crossing the picket line with Bae. Sorry, it's irrelevant.
I'm just glad you want to see
Topical.
It again. No, because I have all my friends have already seen it. And so I haven't seen it. So I'm glad that you're like, let's go again because I want to see it. And we have fun together after.
Yeah, we have fun. Like, so I want to hang out and like do our thing.
Yeah.
And now Bae's in
speaking
town.
Of going to movies together.
Wait, speaking of.
Yeah.
Goth, but Bae's going to be goth Barbie. Hell yeah. Every time Bae comes to town, we go see a movie together. Because remember, Bae was in town when we went to go see John
what movie was
Wick.
That? Oh, yeah.
We rented a theater as a team and went and saw John Wick. And it was
fun.
Oh,
wow.
It was fun.
Sven. I forgot about that. Yeah,
dude,
that's where I met Bae. I met Bae in person.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did not see Sven when I was in Berlin, but I also didn't go out to any club that whole time, or even specifically the club that he works at, because why would I? It was random. It'd be really random to not... Well, whatever. I went to Kit Kat. Just joking. Could you... Well, I guess you don't even know that reference, but could you imagine me at Kit Kat right now at this age?
What the hell is Kit Kat?
It's like a popular, like, sort of sex club in Berlin. It's fine. Like, it's a totally chill club. Like, the thing about Berlin is it's so sex positive and everyone's so chill that, like, it wouldn't actually, if I was there, it wouldn't be weird. But, like, to you guys, if I was like, dude, I was at Kit Kat and you knew what Kit Kat was, you'd be like, what the fuck? You'd be so weird out that me at this age, like, wearing, like, a knit sweater was at Kit Kat. They probably wouldn't let me in with a knit sweater, but you know what I mean. As for all my Berlin listeners who sort of understand what I'm referencing right now, like, me, like, yeah, it's 100% cotton. It's good for the environment. At Kit Kat. Okay, I don't know.
Okay, let's... Speaking
my
of
pants!
Seeing... I don't know what... I want a Kit Kat now. I just
They're
want to eat
leg.
A Kit Kat. All you're doing is making me want chocolate.
And?
No. We
Why do I have
together.
To sort of take on your sort of like trauma?
Oh my god.
Okay, let's talk about Oppenheimer. Shireen and I saw Oppenheimer.
Yes, it was fun. We had a good time. Again, thank you, Zach, our ticket broker, for making it happen.
Ticket broker, tickets in disguise.
Whoa, wait, what's the real?
Transformers robots in disguise.
Oh, right.
Which, fun fact. As a child, I thought it was Transformers Robots in Denial. Isn't that weird?
Denial?
Yeah. Wait. Until my brother one day was like, you idiot, it's disguise.
Wait, that's anyway. Like that one like thing that people were like, do you hear this or this?
I heard denial as if that made
denial?
Any sense. Like the Transformers were in denial
different...
of the fact that they're cars, so they were transforming.
But that's like three syllables.
I know, Shireen. I was a stupid ass kid.
I was like, yeah, Transformers, robots in denial.
And my brother would be like, what?
Sounds like you're projecting.
I was in denial about the truth of what that goddamn theme song was saying. That's for sure.
Damn.
I have another good one.
Okay.
So when I was young, I knew of the song like Papa Roach's. What is that song? The popular one they had? Where it was like Suffocation, No Breathing.
Oh,
I can't remember the actual name of the song. I don't honestly what was that
wait I don't know
Papa Roach biggest hit hold on
oh
last resort
right
wasn't yes. it last resort
Oh, wait. Bay,
we're not going to like play a YouTube clip right now. Bay just put a YouTube clip in there. Bay, we're not clicking that link. Here's the thing. I don't
Bay
click
says
links.
Yes.
I don't
Bay
click
says
links.
Yes. It's what you said.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess I sort of like knew of the song when I was young before I maybe really heard the song just from like, you know, around the kids. So I would always go like, sorry, it's just my brother really used to make me laugh. He'd just be always roasting my ass. Actually, still kind of does. But I'd always be like, suffocation, no breathing.
Then, you're insane.
And then my brother one day was like, bro, it's not like to the theme of bananas and pajamas. Like, it's like. It's like our song is like, suffocation, no breathing. But like the way I would be like, suffocation, no breathing. And like, and then he would always say, and he would always just be like, you sound like you're singing bananas in pajamas. And I was like, oh.
No, that's a very, very funny. Also, just like the idea of Papa Roach makes me laugh so hard now. I don't
know. That song was so popping when we were young.
Yeah, it was.
I was just thinking, I was listening to another song that was... popping. I don't remember it. Remember Limp Bizkit?
Now I do.
Limp Bizkit was so popping when we were young. And it's like now when you look back, you're like, what are these fucking white boys rapping about?
Yeah. The Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park when I was younger, the words looked the same to me. Does that make sense? Like I couldn't.
The words?
Yeah. Like they look the when I think of Limp Bizkit, I think of Linkin Park. Maybe dyslexia, yeah, maybe dyslexia. Wait, okay, just a disclaimer, I should have did this up top. Once again, I live underneath a murderer or something, so apologies for the loud noise.
He's like, what's that?
If you hear noise, it's my fault and I apologize, but this is what you get if you're not in the studio. But we had fun in the studio last
time.
No
breathing. Yeah, we did. We had so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We did. We had fun together.
Yeah, we
Spoiler alert, everybody, we're friends.
Spoiler alert for now. Just joking. I am looking earlier today when I was eating lunch when we took a break between recording episodes. I started reading The Vogue Essentials, the wardrobe staples we're wearing in 2023. And let me tell you, I have such a fucking clickbait email problem.
I need to know, though.
What am I clicking on all the time? It's like The Strategist, Vogue, The Cut. Like, why am I subscribed to all these fucking emails?
You love a list.
Architectural Digest, Clever. Like, and every single one, they're like, 44 weird houses you've never seen before. And you're like, oh. And they're all just like, you know, just made by like eccentric architects, whatever. But now I'm reading the Vogue Essentials, and it's always the same shit. Vogue Essentials never change.
Give me an example. Is it like Laneige?
Here, I'll read you. I'll read you.
Also, Vaseline and Aquaphor are better than Laneige anything. So whatever. I think the Laneige is a huge. The obsession with that lip mask is so criminal because it doesn't even work that well, and
no,
it's so
it's
trendy.
Been trash.
Every celebrity hawks it.
This Smith's.
Yeah, that's good because it has fucking petrol. What's the
petroleum
ingredient?
My dear, petroleum jelly. Petrol.
That's, yeah, it has that. I was going to say petrolatum. I think that's how English people say it, if I'm being honest.
This shit's the gospel.
Yeah, that's good. Smith. Vaseline and Aquaphor, literally the only thing that works for your lips. Everything else is a scam. You don't need a fucking funny fragrance or whatever.
I just ate it because it tastes so good because it's strawberry flavored.
I used to eat chapstick when I was younger. I should not say that so casually.
I see chapstick, whatever.
No, they were really, like, I didn't eat it like nom nom nom, like just like biting into it, but...
sounds like you
the
ate
taste
it, like,
was
nom,
really
nom.
Good.
You know, I have like 15 of these like in stock in my cabinet right now.
I only found the tin and it's impossible to open and it leaked everywhere when it got to me. So
what?
Yeah, but Sephora gave me everything for free because they misunderstood what my complaint was because it came melted and
yeah,
just like
good.
Everywhere. And so I messaged them being like, hey, like, can I just get a refund for this? Like, I don't want it. Like, I said either replacement or a refund. And I said on the refund. But then they refunded me my entire order.
That's fine.
Like $90.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No, okay. No, I just didn't expect that. I think they made a mistake. I didn't even pay $90. I got like a discount code and I paid like $79.
Okay, perfect.
So, yeah, that made me feel pretty.
I mean, I personally think the tin can ones were actually better, but yeah, no, I have one in my car that melts sometimes in the heat, and then it takes me a minute to open it, but I just use two like napkins and open it.
Oh.
But yeah. I like it. Anyway, let me read you the Vogue's ultimate wardrobe essential list, right? So it's just like a bunch of things that they offer like multiple versions of that are all like $500. So it's like useless.
Yeah.
But it's the go-to denim, the crisp white poplin. It's, let me tell you, it's the same essentials every year. It's insane.
Wait,
that Vogue
poplin can't still be a thing.
My dear, it is. Okay. The little white dress. Wow. The trouser-esque leggings. Wow. The plain white tee. Wow. The editor dress. Wow. The chic sneakers. Wow. The fashion flat. Okay. The oversized blazer.
I was waiting for the wow.
Well, now I'm just losing my mind. And I'm going to get a headache if I keep shaking my head like this.
Oh, yeah. The viewers couldn't, or listeners couldn't see that. But every time Anna did that, her head was like a tornado.
Yeah. The oversized blazer. Wow. Okay, I'll stop. The all-year-round boot. Like, this is not exactly, like, you're not breaking ground here, Vogue.
No.
The practical.
What is an all-year-round boot? What does that look like?
It's just a boot you can wear all year round.
Like, what kind of boot can you wear in the summer? That seems kind of uncomfortable.
Like, just sort of a shorter one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you want me to send you a link?
No, I mean, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, just say boot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
just boots. The practical carry-all, just a giant tote. The timeless tank top. The maxi skirt. It's, like, literally just all-purpose knitwear. You're like, okay, okay.
It is funny though, like the fancy trouser names they've made up for tote. Like you see, you go to like Baggy or Everlane, and it's like the all, like the carry all, whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm, this is just a tote bag. Just call it a tote bag.
The goes with everything leather jacket. It's just a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean goes with everything? You have a certain leather jacket that doesn't go with everything? It's a black leather jacket.
But they get you. These lists work that you clicked on it.
The,
you know,
summer sandal. Well, what else do you wear in the fucking summer?
That's really funny.
Anyway,
actually.
So I got to stop clicking on these things because I do find them to be sort of like dark holes of despair.
But it's literally the same thing. You're right. Every time is just like...
Their edits are always
the same. Regurgitated.
They're not exactly breaking ground when they're like, these essentials are super needed. A white t-shirt. A black
t-shirt. Yeah, that's the one that really gets me, because like jeans and a white tee is always referenced as like the look. And it's been the look for like 60 years or something. Like, I don't fucking know, but like, wow, what a novel idea. You wear a white fucking t-shirt. I don't know.
And you know, we're kind of like stuck. We can't break free.
No,
because like Vogue decides what we wear. They do, unfortunately. It's sad.
They don't.
Life is sad. Oh no. Honey,
I want to just like a cartoon character.
Who do you think said to you, go wear wide leg pants?
Not Vogue.
That's what you think.
Where did I get that from?
I don't know. You tell me.
It's all just in my head. They all infiltrated my head.
Becca says my thighs. Hey, guess what? Your thighs are an editor for Vogue. So nice try, Becca.
Yeah.
I'm slowly losing my mind.
I love that Becca supported my scam with Sephora, because I also felt incredibly...
You can,
like, the
you
most...
know you can use something all the way to the absolute last part and then take it back and say, I didn't like it, and they'll...
Wait, really?
You. Yes.
Have you done that?
No, because I'm lazy, but you can.
I have done that with mascara, though. I hated it so much because I used it a bunch and I kept giving it a shot and I returned it after a while, but... That was also because I didn't want it.
I will say that Tower 29 mascara that everyone is raving about, it's all right. You know what I will rave about? That, like, what is it called? Like, Calame Hell or High Water? That mascara now.
I don't know what that's. I don't know what that brand is.
I just like it. It actually works really well. Shocking.
Oh, really? Mascara is like a hit or miss for me, because I have like hooded eyelids. And so my mascara gets on the bottom and top of my eyelids. But the Rare Beauty one is not bad. I like the Rare Beauty mascara. Rare Beauty is honestly
Rare
one
Beauty
of my...
Rare Beauty is incredible.
It's like the blush, the setting spray that I just started using, because I never use a setting spray, but it's just really fun to do after you put on anything.
Rare Beauty is the gospel.
Highlight. Yeah, it really is. Selena Gomez, I applaud. I applaud you. The YSL mascara, I gotta try that. Becca says the YSL mascara is good.
Oh,
YSL's always been a brand that I like. I don't know anything about, but they have my initials. So low key, I'm just like, that's a cool brand, but I know nothing about them. But I like the letters because they're mine.
Eunice, Shireen, Lonnie.
Yeah. Okay, are we going to talk about Oppenheimer? Let's take a break. We've been talking for like 21 minutes.
Okay. Let's take a quick break.
Quick break. Let's talk about Oppie.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. So I just want to tell you something really quick. We will talk about Oppenheimer. I swear to God, why are you guys trying to like suffocate me? So
we don't have to. We can save it for another episode.
No,
we can
just keep telling you something. Hold on, I gotta text everyone I know about this. Sorry, I just saw some good tea on the internet, but I can't tell you guys because I'm not caught. I'm not gonna be caught dead openly talking about this. sorry. There's a new
use your words.
Roni, Real Housewives of New York. It got recast, blah, 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 new season, new world. And there's an episode where one of the ladies calls the other ladies a bunch of cackling hags, and they're so offended by it. And I just literally go like, I'm a cackling hag. I don't know why these people are so offended.
That's so funny.
I think it's funny, but there's a face one of the women makes. She's like, she's like so shocked. But I'm literally like,
how could you?
What?
How dare you?
And this woman is like, well, I mean, and also she said it behind their backs and then it got back to them. But it wasn't like it wasn't like supposed to be mean. Like she was just joking around because they were like,
oh, really?
Kind of like laughing at her. Yeah, it was fine. It was like not a big deal at all. But Jenna Lyons' ass had to turn around and tell them. And then when they asked, the producers were like, why did you tell them that? She was like, I don't know. She's so good. She has no idea what's going on.
Wait, who is she? Is she like a good person?
She's Jenna Lyons. She's like ran J. She like made J. Crew what it is.
Jenna Lyons.
Oh my God. If you saw her face, you'd know her bitch ass.
Not really.
What? Get online more.
Wait, she made what it is? OJ Crew. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Got it. She looks, I mean, like, if I think about it, she could look familiar, but that's just me being like, she's a white lady, you know?
Yes.
No, I have no idea who this person is. Nope. That's interesting, though. Interesting. I love some good little draw. I mean, like, last episode, we were talking about how our parents are, like, culturally, I feel like you get into the silliest fights, but Kathleen Hags is a
good
one.
Hold on. I gotta, let me see if I can find this photo. Of Uba, the woman who's making the face was like, oh, it's Uba. But then, so she said it to Jenna, and then Jenna repeated it to them. And one of the women, Erin, who I know is a secret fucking Zionist, even though she won't directly say it on the show, goes like, I mean, I just wish she would call me a cackling hag to my face. It's like, why would she do that?
Also, why do you want that? Yeah, what would, like, you do? What are you,
you would
do?
Rather her be like, you're a stupid cackling hag? Like, she's not saying it in the way that you're taking it, but I think it's very funny that she'd be like, well, she should say it to my face. And it's like, she's not going to, because it's not
that
deep.
Did they not know that she was kidding? Well, like, or said it in a funny way?
Here's the thing about sort of, like, reality TV is sometimes you just need shit to, like, work with. So
Right. They're like, now be mad about this.
Yeah, like, you're just kind of like, cackling hag. Anyways, so I wanted you to start referring to me as a cackling hag, period.
Easy. Done.
It's just so funny. It's such a funny thing to say. And then also to be like, say it to my face.
That's so funny.
So anyway.
Okay.
Oppenheimer.
Oppie. Also did not know that was his nickname until the movie.
Oh, wait. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Molly Lambert related to him. Just found out recently.
Wait, really?
She's related to him, yeah.
How?
Like a distant, like, second, third cousin or something like that.
Holy shit. How did you just find that out?
I honestly forget. She told me, but I fucking forget.
That is very fascinating.
So anyway, she has blood on her hands, everybody.
Yep. No, but I think, obviously, there are so many legitimate criticisms of the movie, but if you look at it from just like, hey, Christopher Nolan wanted to, like, get inside this guy's head, like, he's not trying to write a documentary or historical accurate drama. Like, it's literally just like him in this guy's head being heady and, like, what this guy went through. So in that regard, I think it was very, it did what it wanted to do. It accomplished that. I think it was, like, it didn't feel as long as it did, which I think is always an accomplishment in a long movie.
Yeah.
And I just can't look away from Cillian Murphy. I think, honestly, if it wasn't Cillian Murphy, I'd have different feelings. But he's
remember
beautiful.
The Cillian Murphy Instagram where he's, like, 2 feet tall? How funny is that?
I sent that to you, yeah.
How fucking funny is that?
That is there's a picture of Cillian Murphy, Amanda Seyfried, and Justin Timberlake. They were, like, on a press tour for that movie In Time from, like, a million years ago. Like, maybe five. And he looks, like, so small. It looks like it's photoshopped. It looks like you, like,
Jack thinks he's just standing far away. And I'm like, he's not. He's 5'7".
But he's also, I mean, Justin Timberlake does look a little bit in the foreground, but it makes it look so crazy.
But he's not that far back. Like, how deep is that?
No, it's not that far back. You know? It's not that far back. He's not a tall. He's not 5'7", though. He's taller than that.
No, he's 5'7". Google it.
Really?
Google it.
Wait, hold on. Girl. Did not know that.
Google it. Do you like how I said
Oh my
that?
God, little baby, 5'7¾". Okay, you're 5'7", it's fine.
I'm going to Google.
That's cute.
Cillian Murphy height.
I just did. It says 5'7¾" on IMDb.
No, I Google things on Twitter.
Oh.
So take that, bitch.
Well, that is incredible. He has tall man energy, and I love that for him. Not that it matters how tall you are. What? Nope. Decline. No, I think Cillian Murphy is a beautiful man. That face is incredible. And yeah, I think he did an amazing job. I think he always plays, like, really tormented men. And I think in that regard, this was like his crowning achievement. Becca says he looks like a snake. Becca, he's a beautiful snake. He's a beautiful snake, and that's
you
fine.
You bitch! Also, look at the photo I just sent you guys.
Oh my god. No! No! That must just be the scene.
Okay, wait. I have that photo.
That must just be the
scene. He looks so small.
That is crazy because he doesn't look that short. Like, I would have thought he was, like, I wouldn't have believed, like, 5'8", maybe 5'10",
11. Sweatshirt did him really dirty in this photo. It looks like it's, like he looks so tiny.
He's, like, swallowed up by that sweater, yeah.
That is comedy. That is comedy. Why is he so itty-bitty?
Short King, thank you for making shortness hot.
He has a great team. Let's be real. His team is doing more work than anyone in this industry because he does not appear tiny ever until he does.
He doesn't, like, everything he's in, he seems like a, like, it's like a, yeah, tall man energy. Everyone he plays, everyone, like, whatever. That's very impressive because even in the movie that we just saw, I didn't think he was, like, I don't know, that small. But that's interesting. That's interesting.
No one works harder than Cillian Murphy's team.
Maybe that's why he's sitting all the time.
Incredible work.
Cillian Murphy's incredible. He did amazing. Like, again, top achievement as far as his, like, tormented man, what's that word? Like, typecasting goes. So I think that was great. I think there were some incredible sequences in the movie, and I think the acting was great. Obviously, if you expect it to be like a historically accurate documentary, that's 100% not what it is. Especially because they like ignored that there was like a whole community in
New Mexico.
Mexico.
They were like, wow, this land is all completely deserted.
Yeah.
How convenient. And it's like, no.
No,
there were people there. They had farms. All their shit was taken from them and they were kicked off their land.
And then after the fucking test site or whatever, the test explosion, their families all got like ill with like radiation and people like died really young from cancer.
Yeah, they're called downwinders, is the people who get affected by these sort of test blasts or blasts. They get sick and their whole lives are ruined because, you know, and there's no like... There's very little reparations for people like this because they get like
you don't
ignored.
Even hear me. They're not even mentioned. That's the thing, you know. So that's kind of fucked up to me. Obviously, they didn't even really touch on the devastation that happened in Japan. But again, if you're looking at it just from a perspective of like you're in Oppenheimer's head, I understand why Christopher Nolan wouldn't acknowledge those things. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying I think that's why the movie can work. But I also don't like that he ignored people in New Mexico or like, I don't know. It's I think people back then, I mean, it's not even that long ago it is, I guess. Hold on. I'm like not completing any thought. It made me think about, if you guys know Andrei Tarkovsky, Russian director, incredible filmmaker. He filmed his movie Stalker in the late 70s on like the test site of like or where Chernobyl was.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
Then he died incredibly young from like a progressive kind of cancer. His wife died of the same exact thing. A lot of the cast members and crew died younger than like just because of the same thing. And so it's really sad because like it's almost like a silent, invisible death because like you're just walking around and like radiation's all around you like in New Mexico or whatever and then your life is short or painful or whatever. So I don't know, it's just kind of sad. Also like all the in that scene of the test explosion we were talking about how they were so close to it.
Yeah, it didn't
also
feel
like
far
just
enough
like
away.
They just, like, put papers over their eyes to shield them. Like, that can't work.
Yeah, it was... I don't know if they were... I don't know. Like, it felt like they were like, yeah, we figured out how far we need to be away. We figured out that you only need to look through this glass to protect your eyes. Like, It was, I don't know. I didn't get it. I was like, maybe you should be even further away. Maybe you should be wearing sort of like masks. Maybe they didn't know any of that back then. But look, what's his name? Died of,
Died of cancer.
Yeah, like 62 or something like that. Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer also died of cancer.
They say it's from smoking, but I'm kind of like, mm-hmm.
Well, no, Tarkovsky also smoked, sure. But like he had like like a bronchitis related cancer or something, I'm pretty sure. And so did fucking Oppenheimer. Obviously different kinds of circumstances, but still pretty sad, pretty interesting and sad. Also, it's devastating because like Stalker is like maybe my favorite movie, and it's kind of sad because it killed the director, and I don't like that, but it's beautiful, and I hate that I like it so much. Well, I don't hate that I like it so much. It's a beautiful movie, and I encourage everyone to watch it.
Stalker?
Yeah, it's called Stalker. It's based on a Russian novel called Roadside Picnic. It's an incredibly slow movie, so it's not for everybody. It's like long and slow, but if you just like lean into it, it's like an experience. It's like a spiritual experience to me. And it's just like basically it's just like three. It's like what I can equate to like three dudes tripping on mushrooms, like wandering a forest. That is the most simple way to explain the movie. But and then like talking about existential dread or whatever. But they also filmed like you in the movie, you see like the remnants of where Chernobyl was and like all this like decay and destruction and stuff.
Why would they film there?
Because it was interesting, I guess. I don't think people really like understood the seriousness of radiation even in the late 70s. You know, like I don't think it was understood to the level it is now. I mean, especially not in Oppenheimer's time, but like. Because you can't see it, right? You can't see that, like, oh my God, this tree has radiation on it, and look at it now. No, it's all like invisible. The world looks normal. If you like say for like maybe like I don't know, like they say in Japan, a lot of plants grew weird, and the soil was different and stuff, and people were born with deformities. That is just horrid, because it's not like it just killed people and. That was it. It like kind of destroyed generations. Sorry, I'm going all over the place. But the movie Oppenheimer does not touch on any of that, which is fine, because if you want to watch a documentary, go watch a documentary. I think if you want to just like have a heady existential experience in this like guy's head that ended up feeling so guilty, Oppenheimer's the movie for you. Also, if you like Cillian Murphy, just go see it. Those are the two people that can see it. Cillian Murphy lovers. And,
yes, Cillian Murphy, height truthers, and World War II enthusiasts like Bay. But I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was a real interesting experience. I found it very dark because of the whole, I don't know, bombing a bunch of Japanese people thing. That was really devastating. Interesting of him being like, I have a conscience. Because he's all, like, depressed that he, like, helped kill all those people. America, evil.
I believe that, though. I do believe that.
I believe him, too. But, like, the way they portray Truman, was it Truman who was like, get this crybaby out of here? Because he said he had blood on his hands.
Yeah.
I'm like, America's so gross. Just, like, a bunch of, like, yucky white bros.
Yeah, that's 100% what America is. Yep.
And I don't like it.
No, I do believe that he felt guilt.
Foreign scientists worked on the bomb. Funny, huh?
Yeah.
Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah.
There's no reason to bomb Japan like that on that level.
I mean, also two cities.
Yeah.
And just overkill. Also, like, Japan was about to surrender. Like, that's the thing. It would be different. I think it would be so different. Also, still terrible. But if they had decided, for example, to bomb Hitler's fucking house when Hitler was still alive, maybe I can wrap my head around the logic of that. Mm-hmm. But, like, Hitler had already shot himself. Japan was going to surrender. Like, why would... I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's just... It's purely just them having a giant science experiment for at the sake of, like, hundreds of thousands of people and, like, culture and, like, all of that stuff. And it's terrible. Wait. Do you remember that scene where the guy was like... I went to Kyoto for my honeymoon. We can't do that. We can't bomb Kyoto.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross. But I think Christopher Nolan like made a point to be like, this is gross, is what I got from it. So that's why I also enjoyed the movie, because I don't think he was like ignoring the fact that it was gross.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was, yeah, it was pretty gnar in that regard. Didn't love that aspect of it. Also, like, the only people they showed, like, sort of having their skin flake off were white people. And I was like, you should show the real shit. Like, the hundreds of thousands of Japanese people whose lives were just halted in a moment's notice. So, after we watched the movie, I read all of Oppenheimer's Wikipedia page. And then I, you know, casually went to the radiation Wikipedia page and I read something very interesting.
Please.
I think I sent it to you.
Oh, you might have, but I forgot. Tell me again.
Basically, actually, let's take a quick break and then I'll come back and read you what I discovered.
Cliffhanger. Okay.
Hear me.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. I found in the radiation Wikipedia, I found this very interesting. I read, radiation is not always dangerous, and not all types of radiation are equally dangerous. Same sentence. Contrary to several common medical myths. For example, although bananas contain naturally occurring radioactive isotopes, particularly potassium-40, which emit ionizing radiation when undergoing radioactive decay, the levels of such radiation are far too low to induce radiation poisonings, and bananas are not a radiation hazard. It would not be physically possible to eat enough bananas to cause radiation poisoning, as the radiation dose from bananas is non-cumulative. Is that interesting?
It is interesting.
Never trust bananas!
Yeah.
Even though, like, you can't trust bananas and it's not a big deal, but anyway, radiation is ubiquitous on Earth, and humans are adapted to survive at the normal low to moderate levels of radiation found on Earth's surface.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, radiated queens. Also bananas.
Why? Yeah. Huh? Are bananas the only fruit with potassium, whatever the shit? That's interesting to me.
You know what's funny? It's the only thing the reason I know that bananas have potassium in them is because of the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Mm.
Because one of the kids like passes out and the other kid goes, give him a banana. It has potassium in it.
And that's what stuck with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I don't remember why he passed out. Maybe he had some sort of health concern. I don't remember.
I think the bananas have potassium marketing is pretty impressive, because I think everyone knows that if you need potassium, you eat a banana. But if I need fucking, I don't know, something else, I don't know what to eat. Anyway.
I think a good marketing technique for them is, hey, man, don't you want to survive radiation poisoning? Well, eat a bunch of bananas and your body will slowly love radiation and you'll be untouchable. Bananas, your radiation friend. No, wait, your radiating friend.
Good job. That was good.
God, if fucking Big Banana steals that from me, I swear to fuck.
Big
God.
Banana.
If I fucking funny. Find out that Big Banana has been stealing my advertising ideas, I'll do nothing. Okay. I also wanted to read a quote about Robert Oppenheimer.
AKA Oppie. They called him Oppie. Not know that.
He's a fucking op, dude. Joking. Kind of. Well, I guess he's an op.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone named Hans Beth said this of him. I forget who Hans Beth is because I did not screenshot that part. Probably the most important ingredient he, Oppie, brought to his teaching was his exquisite taste. He always knew what were the important problems, as shown by his choice of subjects. He truly lived with those problems, struggling for a solution, and he communicated his concern to the group. In its heyday, there were about 8 or 10 graduate students in his group and about 6 postdoctoral fellows. He met this group once a day in his office and discussed with one after another the status of the student's research problem. He was interested in everything, and in one afternoon, they might discuss quantum electrodynamics, cosmic rays, electron pair production, and nuclear physics. I mean, that's like back in the days way of saying that he was like extremely online. Is it not? Like, they're like, this fool could talk to you about anything.
Right.
He was like, yeah. Can you believe those cackling hags? Anyway, the thing you need to understand about physics is he was so online. He's like mom talk, you know, like he knew everything, dude.
Wow.
And that's why he was like kind of such a legend, is like he loved TikTok of the era. You know?
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I think he's also his interests are fascinating, though. Like, he was obsessed with, like, philosophy and stuff. And I think one of the most famous lines, which is in the movie, which is the dumbest part of the movie, I want to say, the I am become death. Or no, what is it?
Yeah, he says something like that. I am become
now
death.
I am become death, destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
It's like from a... it's like a... originally in Hindu, and he was like very fascinated with like Hinduism and a lot of like
he could read Sanskrit. It was crazy.
He could read Sanskrit. Wow. But in the movie, okay, I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't seen it, but when you hear it, when you see it happen, it's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Because they could have done it in any other way, but it becomes this like really what's the word without trying to spoil it? I don't know. It becomes extremely silly and unneedingly sexy or sensual or something. But I thought that was the dumbest way to have that iconic line said. but his interests are pretty fascinating. He's very like eclectic with what he liked, because sometimes you find like, oh, a physicist, he sticks to this kind of like notions of the world or whatever. But he was a heady guy. He was pretty heady, and I think that's why he ended up feeling so fucking guilty, because like that caught up to him.
Yeah, I agree. He's too deep in it. Like, maybe, like, yeah, don't agree to, like, sort of a government initiative project thingy if you're not really sort of ready to, like, hang with the outcome of your choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I sort of say, like, to all my friends and family.
And also, wait, I wanted to figure out where it was from.
Death Becomes Me or whatever it is.
I think it's a... No, the, I don't know how to say this without fucking it up, but the Bhagavad Gita, it's like a 700-verse Hindu scripture written in Sanskrit.
Right.
And...
Again, extremely online of him.
Extremely... No, Sanskrit. I mean, you're not wrong. That is 100% what it is.
It's such a choice to know Sanskrit.
It's a very big choice. He was also like a ladies guy, so it was just like a, like another way to be like, I'm interesting, ladies. Like, womanizer. Do you want to know what this said? A womanizer, yes.
There's a great scene where you have to. He has to read Sanskrit and able to come. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe I just made that up. You'll never know.
No, she didn't. He was so young when he died. He was only 62. That's like. I mean, same with fucking Tarkovsky. He was like 50 something, I'm pretty sure. Wait, how old was he?
You love to bring up Tarkovsky.
He was only 54. Oh my god, Tarkovsky, R.A.P. That is so young. Radiation, I swear. Silent killer. But apparently this person is saying that the text that this is from, the Hindu scripture, it gave Oppenheimer like a way to make sense of his actions. So it seems like this person is saying he didn't even like say that line until after the bomb thing happened, the bomb thing, after fucking the atomic bomb went off, he became death. But in the movie, it doesn't happen that way. And it's really dumb. So I hope you guys just see it just for that one scene so you can just like laugh about it. I don't know why I thought it was so silly. Maybe not everyone thought it was silly, but I thought it was silly.
That's pretty silly. Because, like, to sort of, like, narrativize and dramatize and create dramaturge, if you will, as Kendall Roy says, around a sort of dropping of a bomb is silly.
Yeah, it's a bit, you're very removed from it if you're able to do that, right? Wait, I wanted to mention... So, the person writing this is saying that he made sense of his actions with this text. It centers on a dialogue between a great warrior prince named Arjuna and his charioteer Lord Krishna, who's an incarnation of Vishnu. And so they're facing an opposing army containing his friends and relatives, and Arjuna is torn. But Krishna teaches him about a higher philosophy that will enable him to carry out his duties as a warrior, irrespective of his personal concerns. This is known as the Dharma, or holy duty. It is one of the four key lessons of the Bhagavad Gita, I apologize, on desire or lust. It is the four lessons of this text on desire or lust is wealth, the desire for righteousness or dharma, and then the final state of total liberation, which is moksha. Again, sorry, but I think it's very interesting because the text kind of made him feel better, I think, about what he did, because it, like, rationalized it for him. Mm. Or at least, like, that's what he needed at the time to be like, I have to give myself a reason for this, or I'm going to kill myself. But, I don't know, that's interesting to me. I think he would have voted for Obama a third time, is what I'm saying. No?
Wait.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
You think he would have voted for Obama?
he's like a white guy exoticizing and being like, I know about this culture that is not mine. I love it so much.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a third term for Obama right there. Also, similarities of looks between the actors and the real people.
I know, they're so similar.
It's very similar. It's a little bit unnerving because I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was like a movie where it was just like, I'm going to cast this person to play this person because he's like a better looking version of him or whatever. And usually that's the case. But they all look extremely like the people that they were portraying. But yeah, Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I saw someone put a side-by-side of, what's his name? Oppenheimer and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
On Twitter of how much they look alike, and someone wrote, damn, he should play him. That was very funny.
That is funny.
Made me laugh.
Yeah. I do think that it's one of those movies that is only, it only kind of works in the theater, because if you're at home, you'll pause it. You'll be tempted to like get away from it. It'll be too loud or whatever. It'll be on a tiny screen. I think like a movie like Oppenheimer, it doesn't like it's if you're not forced to sit and watch it all at once, I don't think you will. Yeah. The same for like every long movie, honestly. Like if I had a choice to never to go back and just never watch Avatar, I would. I hate that movie. Both of them so yeah, much.
I don't need to watch Avatar ever again.
No. So I think it's one of those movies that would be, that would benefit from seeing in a theater, not even for the movie itself, but also just for your own viewing experience. I also think, hot take, maybe not that hot, I think we should bring intermissions into movie theaters. Like, yeah. If plays can do it, and if you're going to give me like a over 3-hour movie, then give me a bathroom break. Like, I should want to, like, I think the theater should want that. Don't you want people to, like, want to eat and drink and not, like, hold their pee and not drink? Like, with an intermission, everyone wins. I don't know why it's not a thing. It should be a thing. I don't know. It should be a thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's very frustrating when you're like, I have to pee. I have to pee.
But yeah, and the movie's, like, a million hours long. Like, Avatar is a crime. A hate crime, racist, and all that stuff, but also a crime against, like, bladders everywhere. No. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
Anything else you want to talk about when it comes to Oppie?
I don't know. I mean, I was surprised with how much I liked it. I'm not a Nolan fan. Like, I thought Interstellar, maybe Interstellar is my favorite Nolan movie because I just thought it was like the perfect kind of heady for me at the time. I haven't seen it in a while, but the music is phenomenal. And I think Nolan is really good at that. I think he's good at like pairing his visuals with this like really like moving, almost sacred sounding music. So I think he's really smart in that regard. And everyone that talks about him that's worked with him, including the cast of this movie, they only have, like, the nicest things to say about him. So, I don't know. I respect the guy. So, I think it's worth a watch. Obviously, take it with a grain of salt because it's not accurate at all when it comes to other people's histories. But again, yeah. I don't think he set out to make a documentary. You know what I mean? Or, like, not a documentary. I mean, like, a historically accurate, like, this is what happened.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. Let me tell you, I get that. That this guy, hey, let's just be real. He is not acknowledging the downwinders whatsoever, and I just find it really gross.
No, and like people argued online, like why didn't Nolan mention or like give more attention to what happened in Japan and the people there?
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't think it was the movie. That's not the movie that you're watching. And I understand the sentiment, but it's like simply just like not the movie. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. If you're in this guy's head, he's not going to be thinking about that. Maybe like once or twice when
he's
does.
He's too busy being like, but how do we film it so Cillian looks tall?
Yeah, exactly. He did not look short.
No, he didn't.
He did not look short. No.
No, he didn't.
No, no, no. What a man.
God, what a man, what a man, what a man, what a man, what a good man.
Also, apparently people call him Kill, which I think is so sick. Kill.
I would call him Leon.
Kill Leon, yeah.
No, just Leon.
Just Leon. Yeah, I know, but like it's from Kill
Leon. I would call him Leon.
Leanne. Wait, you just reminded me of that clip you sent me of how we sounded, how Irish sounds Jamaican. Wait, yeah, that clip was, there's a clip online. How do you find it? Like, do you just search like Cillian Murphy movie young Jamaican?
It's literally probably just like in your messages on Twitter.
No. I'm for the people. Oh. For the people to find.
It was pretty viral on Twitter. You may have seen it. It's just like, it's called, what is it, the accent? It's called like Cork. So people just writing how the Irish Cork accent sounds Jamaican. So just Google that and you'll find it.
And there's a scene in this movie that he's in. And it sounds wild. They sound eerily similar.
Yeah, there's certain intonations that sound like the same accent, which is pretty surreal. But I mean, like, hey, thus is life.
Yeah. We're all connected. But I don't know. Ultimately, it's a pretty sad fucking movie. Like, sad event that it's based on. Sad movie. Sad man. Yeah. All sad. It's all sad. But you know what? Nolan loves writing a sad man. That's the other thing about Nolan. He loves writing a sad, tormented man genius character. I don't think he's very good at writing female characters, so that's something he has to work on, I think. But as far as his tormented male genius characters go, this is a good one, I suppose.
I agree. Also just Cillian, you know?
God, I think if it wasn't Cillian, I would feel so different about this movie.
Oh, yeah. This would have been a completely different movie if it wasn't Cillian. We'd all be like, Oppenheimer? I'm not going to go fucking see that shit.
No. 100%. Like,
it would have to be Cillian, Murphy, or who would be an absolute batshit casting?
Like Keanu Reeves. I would see for Keanu. That's batshit.
Whoa!
I'm just trying to think of people that I would see it for.
Ace just freaked out or just losing my mind for a second. How about like, I'm trying to think of like
Adam Driver. I feel like Adam Driver would do it though.
Yeah, I was thinking more like a Channing Tatum.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
How funny would that, it's like Channing Tatum is Oppenheimer.
That is so funny.
We're all like, does he take his shirt off?
That is very, very funny actually.
Channing Tatum is,
and that's like his attempt at being a serious physicist.
Actor. Yeah. Honestly, if he ever heard this, which he never would, but like he would probably be like, "Why are you being a bitch?" He's so typecast as just like hot idiot that like he would be like, probably hurt by this. Oh yeah, Matthew McConaughey. That's good. Matthew McConaughey is Oppenheimer. He lost a bunch of weight with the. He's like, all right. Yeah, how are we gonna make this nuclear bomb? Oh, it's so funny. All right. Looks like we got a bomb on our hands. You're just like, what is this fucking movie?
No,
I could see like Tom Hardy because he'd be like, I've got a crazy accent coming, or I don't know, whatever Oppenheimer sounded like. He just loves his accent work.
But I really do think though, we would not care about seeing it at all. Like that's the power of casting. The power of casting is making people that would never see Oppenheimer go see Oppenheimer.
I'm trying to think. Who else would be just absolutely absurd casting?
Like, are you thinking of just like crazy casting or like someone that you would also go see?
I think just crazy casting, but would still draw me in because I'd be like, okay, what?
I mean, yeah, I think Channing Tatum would draw me in. Just be Channing like, Tatum, or like,
wait,
Joe
Manglia.
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet is Oppenheimer. You're like, he's like 12.
Yeah. Apparently, his Willy Wonka is very, very bad, which I'm not really surprised at. I don't think you should touch anything
that Gene Wilder did.
Yeah, that Gene Wilder's in. I think that he's too good. But if he can do Willy Wonka, maybe he can do Oppenheimer.
Hmm. But here's the thing. I don't think he can. I believe Cillian could do Willy Wonka.
That's true.
And Oppenheimer. But I don't think Chalamet could do Oppenheimer. And he could barely do Wonka. Yeah,
they would have to age him and it would be so funny.
It would be so weird.
That's funny. Who else? I don't know. A bunch of weirdos out there. What if they just like...
How about... Oh, what's a good one? Ryan Gosling. Double feature.
Oh, we're going to see Barbie later today. I'm excited to finally see it.
Do you find Ryan Gosling attractive?
Not really. I know he's an attractive person. No. I think he's an attractive person. I just personally don't find him attractive. Does that make sense?
I guess, yes.
Yeah. Like, I think he is appealing. But he's not exactly like someone I would die over. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So should we say goodbye and see each other in like 3 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is Oppenheimer.
Wait, no. Yeah, but stay tuned for the Barbie roundtable, which will happen eventually. I kind of like talking about movies because it like it's I was gonna say less sad, but no, this movie was really sad. But it does give us something to talk about.
Ooh, you know who would be a good Oppenheimer? Because it would just be like madness.
What?
Kieran Culkin.
Oh my god, that would be so weird. Jeremy Strong.
Nah, Jeremy doesn't have it. I mean, no, here's the thing. You know when someone has it so much that it goes back around and goes like, he doesn't have it?
Yeah, that's Jeremy Strong.
He just has it too much, and thus he can't play the role.
Yeah, it would be absurd.
It would just be too much. It'd be so much dramaturging, we'd all pass out. If a movie could kill, it would be Jeremy Strong as Oppenheimer. And they're like, many have died trying to watch this film. He's just dramaturging so hard, we died.
Wait, I didn't tell you. I finished the other two.
Oh, you
reminded me of that guy in the third season that is like a method actor.
Yeah, won't stop being a method actor.
Wait, we should talk AIDS about the play? Other two the next
the
time.
The AIDS play is the funniest episode.
That is so fucking funny.
Fucking Lucas Cage. Oh,
God. We have to do an episode about the other two because I like binged the whole thing this
month. What an
month,
incredible
show, so
right?
Good. It's so good. It's so fucking funny. I'm so mad I didn't watch it before, but I'm glad I watched it now. Underrated. But anyways, we should say goodbye so we can have a break from each other before we see each other again today. That's the episode. Should I say our stuff?
Yeah, say our stuff.
Ethnically Ambiguous, that's the show. It's Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen, Shirohiro on Instagram, Shirohiro666 on Twitter. Anna, what did you send the group?
That's crazy. I'm at Anna Hosni on Twitter, at Selling Hosni on Instagram.
And Substack, whatever. Okay, that's the episode.
Bye! Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.